Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Affordable housing to buy or rent is out of reach for many living in Baltimore. According to a housing market analyst of October home sales by Metropolitan Regional Information Systems, homes in the Baltimore metro area sold for a median price of $260,000. Census data finds the average median income in Baltimore is just $42,000, way too low to support that much mortgage. A report published last spring by the Able Foundation examined more than a decade of rental costs. It found that rents have risen in the city far more rapidly than the incomes of renters. More than that, one-third of Baltimore's renters are severely burdened. They spend half their income on housing. In order to bring home ownership within reach and preserve his neighborhood's diversity, Ryan Flanagan is taking action. He's recently been named an Open Society Institute Community Fellow, which means he will spend the next year and a half working on a project to benefit his neighborhood, specifically the Remington Community Land Trust. For that, he'll receive a $60,000 stipend. The nonprofit Open Society Institute supports proposals to benefit Baltimore's underserved communities, from distributing produce before it goes to waste to helping students become designers and inventors. Ryan Flanagan, welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
Just great.
What is a community land trust?
It's really a method of land ownership that provides permanently affordable community-controlled housing.
Permanently affordable?
Community-controlled housing,
yeah. What does that mean?
Permanent affordability is established through a limited equity resale formula, and community control of this land is established through a board of directors of the entity, which is made up almost entirely of community members.
I get the board of directors. Mm-hmm. Permanent affordability, you say, is established through a limited equity resale formula.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What that means is that basically we provide access to homeownership to people who are generally cut out of homeownership.
How do you do that?
By providing a subsidy so that they can buy housing at below market rates. So if in Remington right now houses are selling, let's say, for, you know, trying to buy a nice house, but it's $250,000, we can lower the price through the infusion of subsidy to maybe $175,000 and make that house accessible to more people.
So the Community Land Trust would actually be the entity that owns that house and is selling it?
Yes. The Community Land Trust establishes a ground rent on the land so that it owns the land, and then the buyer owns the structure. And then through the infusion of a subsidy, and we choose income-qualified buyers, so people only making a certain percentage of the area median income. So like you said, people making, if Baltimore's average income is about $42,000, we're targeting people around that range. And we would sell them a house essentially that is below the market rate because of the high appreciation of housing prices in Remington.
The money for the subsidy would come from where?
We are working with the city to establish a funding source and also through private foundations.
Early on, as you were explaining things to me, the word permanent came mm-hmm. up. In what way is this permanent?
So traditionally, a lot of home ownership programs have provided people with sort of, again, a subsidy to buy a house. But then, you know, the conditions have been like you have to live in the house for 5 years and then you can essentially cash out the equity you've built in that house.
Which would include equity would include the subsidy you got.
Right. But in our case, and what we're trying to do is prevent future economic segregation. So what we do is we create a contract that has a limited equity. So you as a homeowner are only allowed to cash out, let's say, 25% of the equity. That means that on the next sale, the house is still below market rate. So we prevent economic segregation for many years to come. And so we can have multi-class diverse neighborhoods for many years to come.
You worked for a long time as an upholsterer
yeah.
in Remington.
10 years, yeah.
How did you go from fixing up furniture to fighting gentrification?
Well, I've always lived in the Central Baltimore area. Born and raised here. And 10 years ago, I needed a side job in college. And I ended up actually liking upholstery more than I liked college. And so I just started working in Remington. And then time came that I needed an affordable place to live. And I was looking around the area. And Remington was the most affordable place I could find to live. And so 6 years ago, I moved to Remington and immediately got involved in the community association and community issues. And Remington obviously is going through tremendous gentrification right now. And so there was really no escaping that the central issue of like how, you know, that my neighbors were dealing with was housing.
At the most basic level, what is it about Remington that you mm-hmm. wanted to preserve?
I believe that housing is a human right, and I think that everybody deserves a safe, clean, and affordable place to live. And when I saw neighbors who welcomed me so heartily and cared about their neighborhood so much being sort of cut out of the benefits of an improving neighborhood, it really, it just doesn't seem fair to me. And I think that we all have a responsibility to improve our city, and I wanted to be a part of making structural changes. And so I've been a part of this citywide movement. This is not just a Remington thing. It's sponsored by the Baltimore Housing Roundtable. And they really organized me into this project about understanding that we can do development without displacement. And so we're part of a citywide coalition to do just that.
That's Ryan Flanagan, one of this year's Open Society Institute Community Fellows. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. Flanagan's grant is to help him create the Remington Community Land Trust, which will create affordable homeownership opportunities in the neighborhood for low-income buyers. I want to bring one of your neighbors into this conversation. He's a member of the Greater Remington Improvement Association, Terrell Eskew. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How would you describe your neighborhood?
I've felt that it was always a very safe place to live. I've liked that it's very socially inclusive and that it's very diverse, housing diverse. Like, there are a great mixture of new and older and old residents, younger residents and upper age residents, low and middle income. And it's racially diverse. You run into a great culture in Remington.
What did you think when you heard Ryan Flanagan's idea about community land trust?
To be honest, I originally didn't know a great deal about land trust. I'm rather new to the movement, so to speak. When he mentioned it, I decided to look it up and do my research, and I found that it's a great tool for creating housing stability.
So it sounds like you're pretty hopeful about it.
Yes.
Ryan Flanagan, who would oversee a land trust?
Well, a land trust would have a staff, a paid staff, theoretically, and then also, again, the overseers are the board members. And so to establish community control, it has 2/3 community residents are the board members, and the other third are lawyers, housing experts, traditional nonprofit board member types. And so it's overseen by community members partnering with experts. And really, that's a great coalition that you need to have like a intentional community-oriented development plan.
And so, Terrell, that's what you're thinking of in terms of the kind of support that would keep somebody in a home, more support than a typical homeownership situation might have.
Yes. One of the things I've come to understand over my time there is, for instance, if someone, let's say they've lived there for a few years and their housing isn't safe, or there's a particular issue with their plumbing, for instance. By creating a land trust and making these issues much more open, you're going to come up with greater solutions, like people willing to help them work together to fix that kind of problem. Because you run into issues like you may not have the money to actually do that this time. You know, people lose their jobs, people have their hours cut back. So by having a community trying to address these issues, you'll keep more people where they are.
Yeah, I mean, a land trust really does sort of codify that sort of neighborhood support in America. So we see, like, what used to happen more organically, now we are trying to establish community institutions that create a structural response to those sort of things. So, like, again, if you, as Terrell said, if you're having an issue, you can go to the community land trust and they can help strategize ways to address it, because it's in their vested interest that you succeed as a homeowner. Community land trusts have a very low rate of foreclosure during the housing crisis in 2008. CLT homes, even though they are generally of low-income folks, had only a 1% foreclosure rate. That was the lowest of any type of housing in the nation. And so we do see that these land trusts are supportive to new homeowners in a way that just sort of a financing tool or a grant that we have a lot of in the city. Like, for new homeowners, we can get you a better down payment or a little down payment money, and those things are great, but they stop after the sale. And so a community land trust at its best is a durable institution of community power and support. We really want to see a structure and an institution created that holds these values that we all have, that we should be looking out for each other and looking out for our neighbors, but that society so much alienates us from each other that we're going to need to create something to do that.
Well, I'm grateful to you for telling us about it.
Yeah, thank you for asking.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Ryan Flanagan is a 2017 Open Society Institute Community Fellow. He'll be working to establish the Remington Community Land Trust. Terrell Askew is a resident of Remington and a member of the Greater Remington Improvement Association. Over the coming weeks, we'll profile other Open Society Institute fellows and hear about projects ranging from teenagers boxing to food justice. Today is Giving Tuesday, so we ask that you keep WYPR in mind as we kick off the season of charitable giving. Visit WYPR.org to donate. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.